traders, said Röpf evenly. To protect our interests, you might say. Meaning the little man.
Imor wrinkled his brows. I'm sorry, he said. I thought I heard you say the Guild of Merchants.
And traders, agreed Röpf.
Behind him now, in addition to more trolls, were several humans that Imor vaguely recognized. He had seen them maybe behind counters and bars, shadowy figures usually, easily ignored, easily forgotten. At the back of his mind, a bad feeling began to grow. He thought about how it might be to be, say, a fox confronted with an angry sheep. A sheep, moreover, that could afford to employ wolves.
How long has this, guild been in existence, may I ask? He said.
Since this afternoon, said Röpf. I'm vice-guildmaster in charge of tourism, you know.
What is this tourism of which you speak?
We are not quite sure, said Röpf.
An old bearded man poked his head over the guildmaster's shoulder and cackled,
Speaking on behalf of the wine sellers of Moorpork, tourism means business, see?
Well, said Imor coldly.
Well, said Röpf, we're protecting our interests, like I said.
Thieves out! Thieves out!
Cackled his elderly companion. Several others took up the chant. Zlorf grinned.
And assassins!
Chanted the old man. Zlorf growled.
Stands to reason, said Röpf. People robbing and murdering all over the place. What sort of impression are visitors going to take away? You come all the way to see our fine city with its many points of historical and civic interest, also many quaint customs, and you wake up dead in some back alley, or as it might be floating down the Ankh. How are you going to tell all your friends what a great time you're having? Let's face it, you've got to move with the times.
Zlorf and Imor met each other's gaze.
We have we? Said Imor.
Then let us move, brother, agreed Zlorf.
In one movement he brought his blowgun to his mouth and sent a dart hissing towards the nearest troll. It spun around, hurling its axe, which whirred over the assassin's head and buried itself in a luckless thief behind him. Röpf ducked, allowing a troll behind him to raise its huge iron crossbow and fire a spear-length quarrel into the nearest assassin. That was the start. It has been remarked before that those who are sensitive to radiations in the far octarine, the eighth colour, the pigment of the imagination, can see things that others cannot. Thus it was that Rincewind, hurrying through the crowded, flare-lit evening bazaars of Moorpork with the luggage trundling behind him, jostled a tall, dark figure, turned to deliver a few suitable curses, and beheld death. It had to be death. No one else went around with empty eye sockets. And, of course, the scythe over one shoulder was another clue. As Rincewind stared in horror, a courting couple, laughing at some private joke, walked straight through the apparition without appearing to notice it. Death, insofar as it was possible in a face with no movable features, looked surprise.
Rincewind?
Said Rincewind, trying to back away from that eyeless stare.
But why are you here?
Boom, boom, went crypt lids in the worm-haunted fastness under old mountains.
Why not? Said Rincewind. Anyway, I'm sure you've got lots to do, so if you'll just,
I was surprised that you jostled me, Rincewind, for I have an appointment with thee this very night.
Oh, no, not...
Of course, what's so bloody vexing about the whole business is that I was expecting to meet thee in Psephopolis.
But that's 500 miles away.
You don't have to tell me. The whole system's got screwed up again. I can see that. Look, there's no chance of you...
Rincewind backed away, hands spread protectively in front of him. The dried fish salesman on a nearby stall watched this madman with interest.
Not a chance!
I could lend you a very fast horse.
No!
It won't hurt a bit.
No!
Rincewind turned and ran. Death watched him go and shrugged bitterly.
Sod you, then.